Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Catching the Big Fish: Meditation, Consciousness, and Creativity is a short, reflective nonfiction book by filmmaker David Lynch. First published in 2006, it combines memoir, creative philosophy, and practical commentary on transcendental meditation. Rather than presenting a systematic theory, the book offers brief chapters in which Lynch connects inner experience, artistic process, and the act of making films. Its central metaphor compares ideas to fish, suggesting that deeper states of consciousness yield richer creative material. The book is especially shaped by Lynch's own history. His meditation practice began during a difficult period early in his career, and he presents it as both personally stabilizing and artistically useful. The result is a compact work that sits between self-help, artist's notebook, and autobiography, aimed at readers interested in creativity, consciousness, and Lynch's distinctive working methods. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, meditation as the foundation of Lynch's creative method. The most important idea in the book is that meditation is not treated as a separate spiritual hobby, but as the basis of Lynch's creative life. He describes transcendental meditation as a way of moving beyond stress, fear, and mental clutter into a more settled state of awareness. In his view, this shift does more than improve mood, it changes the quality of perception and makes creative work more accessible. The book repeatedly suggests that ideas arise more reliably when the mind is calm and receptive rather than forced. This is one reason Lynch presents meditation as practical rather than merely philosophical. He links it to his own experience of struggling to finish Eraserhead when money was short and uncertainty was high, and says meditation helped him regain focus and persistence. The argument is not that meditation solves every external problem, but that it changes how an artist inhabits those problems. That distinction matters because it turns the book into a statement about creative endurance, not just relaxation. Secondly, the big fish metaphor explains how ideas emerge from deeper consciousness. Lynch's best-known image in the book compares ideas to fish. Small fish can be caught in shallow water, but big fish require going deeper. This metaphor gives the book its structure because it links artistic discovery to depth of consciousness rather than to effort alone. The point is not that good ideas can be manufactured by technique, but that deeper awareness allows an artist to notice stronger and more meaningful fragments. Lynch often describes ideas as arriving in pieces, then attracting other pieces until a whole work begins to form. That model is important because it frames creativity as receptive and accumulative, not purely analytical. It also explains why the book favors short, compressed chapters. Lynch is trying to preserve the feel of fragments that connect intuitively. The metaphor is memorable because it is simple, but it also carries a practical implication. Creative people are encouraged to stop chasing surface impressions and instead create the conditions in which deeper material can surface. In that sense, the book links metaphor, method, and artistic philosophy in one compact image. Thirdly, an artist's life is shaped by discipline, preparation, and protected working time. Although the book is often read as mystical, it also contains very concrete advice about artistic work. Lynch emphasizes preparation, equipment, and uninterrupted time as necessary conditions for making something substantial. He suggests that a creative project needs enough structure to begin, but not so much interference that it loses its momentum. This is visible in his discussion of filmmaking, where he values setting up carefully and then protecting the actual period of creation. The idea may sound basic, but it is central to the book because it grounds his philosophy in routine practice. Lynch does not present creativity as a sudden flash detached from labor. Instead, he describes it as a process that depends on readiness, attention, and repeated action. His example of developing a film step by step reinforces that view. The value of this section is that it balances the more spiritual claims of the book with a craft-based understanding of making art. Readers interested in process can see that Lynch's approach combines inward openness with outward discipline rather than choosing one over the other. Fourthly, the book treats cinema as an autonomous language that should not be over-explained. Another major theme is Lynch's defense of film as a medium that communicates through feeling, image, and sound rather than explanation. He argues that a film should stand on its own and that the filmmaker should not have to clarify its meaning in ordinary language. This view reflects his broader artistic style, which often relies on ambiguity, mood, and intuition. In the book, that attitude extends to his preference for allowing the audience to interpret a work for themselves. He trusts viewers to use their own intuition, which fits with his belief that consciousness is active, not passive. The book therefore positions cinema as something that can reach abstract truths without becoming didactic. Lynch also comments on digital video, preferring its lower fidelity qualities because they preserve mystery and leave room for the imagination to work. That point matters because it shows that his technical preferences are tied to his aesthetics. He is not simply nostalgic or anti-film. He wants a medium that keeps the viewer inside a space of suggestion. The result is a concise statement of Lynch's theory of cinematic meaning. Lastly, the book is a compressed autobiography of an unconventional creative worldview. Catching the Big Fish is not a conventional memoir, but it still reveals a great deal about Lynch's life and artistic identity. The book moves through episodes from his career, reflections on his habits, and comments on the emotional atmosphere of making art. Because the chapters are brief, the reader gets insight in flashes rather than through a continuous life story. That format is significant. It mirrors the way Lynch says ideas arrive, as fragments that point towards something larger. The book also reveals how personal his philosophy is. His commitment to meditation, his relationship to filmmaking, and his interest in consciousness are presented as interconnected parts of one worldview. At the same time, he remains selective, leaving gaps that preserve some mystery around his methods. This gives the book a distinctive balance between disclosure and opacity. It is informative without being exhaustive, candid without becoming confessional in the usual sense. For readers, that means the book functions as a portrait of an artist who thinks of creativity as an inward practice as much as an outward achievement. In conclusion, Catching the Big Fish will be most useful to readers who are interested in creativity, filmmaking, meditation, or David Lynch's artistic philosophy. It is especially well-suited to people who want a concise book that offers direct insight into how an artist thinks rather than a detailed technical manual or a traditional autobiography. Readers looking for a systematic guide may find it sparse, but those open to fragmentary reflection will likely value its clarity and personality. Its practical benefit lies in the way it connects inner discipline to creative output. It shows how meditation, focus, and protected working time can support artistic work without turning the process into rigid formula. Its intellectual value comes from the rare combination of self-analysis and aesthetic theory. Compared with many books in the creativity genre, it stands out because the author is not a business coach or academic theorist, but a major filmmaker describing his own methods from inside the practice. That gives the book a distinctive authority and a strong sense of individuality. It is brief, but it leaves a durable impression because it treats consciousness itself as part of the creative toolkit. If you would like to support David Lynch, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.